The jury really.
Ms. Catalan, I'd like to continue on with some of the emails. And at tab 12, we looked at an email titled Re-Mail. The next email is titled Parenting Obviousness, dated April 26, 2015. And you read this email when it was sent. Would it be fair to characterize it as criticism of your parenting?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm just going to highlight a couple lines. If you look at the fourth paragraph, starts, that is why I say you're an idiot who is a terrible parent. And then if you look at the final paragraph, one final note, you see where I called you an idiot, but I have the decency to explain why I believe you're an idiot. See how nice and civilized I am. When was the last time you backed up your claims against me? An example of criticisms of your parenting.
Yeah, this is also an example of where he insults me and then tells me that I shouldn't be offended, or that he's nice and civilized about the fact that he's insulting me. This criticism came because my son snuck out in the middle of the night and went up to the convenience store and bought an energy drink. And we found out and disciplined him. And this email is telling me about why I should not have disciplined him.
Okay, if we could go to tab 13, please. And the lady, I'd like to do maybe what I ought to have done when we created these books, which is number these pages, because this first email that starts Gabriel Summer Visitation 2014 continues for quite a ways. So what I propose to do is that we, so that we know where we're referring to, we simply go page by page and just write 1, 2, 3, 4 at the bottom. You're going to see that page 2 is a completely blank page. That's all labeled at 2. So that we know where we are.
Now, what about Ms. Capilano, who has the original?
Could maybe it'd be helpful if she wrote those numbers too, maybe?
All right. I wonder if Madam Registrar should do that, please. In the original exhibit. We're at tab 13. So we're at tab 13, and the idea is to number every page so that we have one, and then the back of that page is two, although it should be a blank page.
Oh.
Are you at tab 13?
Okay. Madam Redford, can I see that book?
And we have a problem. And one of the jurors has a problem as well.
Yeah.
Is that the new book that arrived today?
okay. Milady, could I ask yourself and members of the jury, so those of you who have a blank page, if you flip to the start of the next email, the one that says Gabriel Summer Visitation 2015, and the date is May 6, 2015 at 5:51 p.m. So May 6th at 5:51 p.m.
No. For me, the next email string. All right, I'll explain what's in my copy, Mr. Meyer. Tab 13, there's the email string that begins re Gabriel Summer Visitation 2015. That's on the first page. On the second page, it's blank. And on the third page, at the top, is the second half of a list beginning 3, What Childish Tantrums.
Okay. Does everybody have the email that, for some of you it might be the first email, and for some of you it might be the second email that starts May 5th, 2015 at 9:26 p.m.?
Yes, okay. For me that is page 5.
So it appears, m'lady, that in some of these copies we're missing that first email that starts April 26, 2015 at 11:35. And that's missing from this exhibit copy. So I'm going to propose that we proceed without that. So that would mean that jurors who have the April 26, 2015, 11:35 email should take out the first two pages, if you're content with that one. That would give us all, I think, the same thing.
All right. So then, if I understand you correctly, for some of us, at tab 13, the first email is re-Gabriel Summer Visitation 2015, and it is dated Sunday, April 26, 2015. Some have that string of emails and some do not. And the string goes for about 4 pages, although one of those pages is blank in my copy. And what you're suggesting, Mr. Meyer, is those of us who have that string simply remove it.
Yes, so we all have the same thing.
And so we would all then start with an email with the same title, Re-Gabriel's Summer Visitation 2015, but the date would be Tuesday, May 5,
2015.
At 9:26 p.m. Now, is that clear for everyone?
In tab 12, that we have the April 26th, G starts at our general visitation 2015. That is in tab 12.
So it got to the wrong tab.
Looks like it appears in my tab 12, the last page of it is also the first page of that re-Gabriel Summer Visitation. But it's only the first page of that email, which, because it was on the back, I guess, from a photocopy of that, and the photocopy is the first page of that. So I'm not sure if the jurors have the entire email or just the first page.
All right, Mr. Meyer, how would you like to deal with this?
So, I think that is what's happened. Because they're two-sided, we just happened to get the first email from that string at the back of tab 12. But I'd still like to proceed by just, I can ask the questions I need to ask without those two pages.
All right, so we'll go back to that plan. For those who have that email that's the string dated Sunday, April 26, 2015, please just remove it. And then we'll start tab 13 at the email that's dated Tuesday, May 5, 2015. Mr. Fox?
Just so that I'm clear, then, should that be numbered as page 5, or should we renumber the exhibit and start that?
I think we'll start that up. Have you already numbered the exhibit, Madam Registrar?
No, I haven't.
I think we'll start that at page 1.
Tuesday, May 5th, 2015.
Would be page 1.
Yes, that will be page 1.
And then number them
on every page. So the front of the page is 1, the back of the page is 2.
So then the email that starts May 6, 2015 at 5:51 p.m. would be page 5.
Yes.
And then page 9 is the email, May 6, 2015, at 10:05 p.m. It's page 9. And then page 12 would be the email dated May 7, 2015, at 12:32 p.m. Page 12. And 13 is the last page in this email string.
I have 26.
26 pages in tab 13. We're only going to...
You said number them back to front, and so I have 26.
Sorry, what do you mean?
I said you remember them. I said mine on double. 1, 2, I've got 26.
Melody, my intention was only to number the email string Gabriel Summer Visitation 2015.
It might. Personally, I'm numbering all of these tabs so that I can find the documents again, but it's up to members of the jury if they wish to put numbers on.
Okay, Ms. Capuano, you've read this email string before, right? You participated in it.
Yes.
And it starts, the jury doesn't have this, but on April the 20th, 2015, you sent an email to Richard telling him that Gabriel wanted to spend his summer visit with Richard.
Yes.
And you provided dates to Richard.
Correct.
Okay, and then I counted approximately 44 emails back and forth. That'll be roughly 22 each in this email string. Does that sound about right?
There were 44. That is correct.
And would it be accurate to say that this email string sort of devolved into an argument about what the word itinerary means?
Absolutely.
Now, in the course of this argument, Richard referred to you in a number of derogatory ways. On page 1, if you look at the very last paragraph, it says, go look up the word itinerary, you fucking moron. You see that?
Yes.
If you flip over the page, the first full paragraph.
Which page is this?
So page 2. The first full paragraph, the last sentence, be more fucking specific, you fucking idiot. Fuck you and fuck your stupid white trash single mother bullshit games. If you look at the bottom of page 3, the second last paragraph, what the fuck is wrong with your head? What the fuck? And then the last paragraph, what the fuck do you mean by itinerary? That is such a fucking vague term. Be specific, you fucking idiot. If we look at page 5, right in the middle, Richard writes, sorry, I meant to say stupid fucking cunt. We go to page 9. The sixth paragraph. Richard writes, do you ever get tired of being a perpetual loser? Do you ever think to yourself, what's the point? Ever seem to you that maybe life is just too fucking hard and there's no point because we're all going to die in the end anyway? If not, well, that's too bad. The world is going to be a better place when you're no longer in it. Ms. Capuano, did you ever wonder to yourself sometimes, what's the point, as Richard asked you here?
Yes. And if it wouldn't just be easier to give up. Many times.
Can you give the jury some idea of the extent to which you felt that way?
I never contemplated how to commit suicide, but there were many times I questioned whether I had the strength to keep going, whether it would end, whether I would get my life back, or if this was just what I was going to deal with every day for the rest of my life now. This is what I should just be used to. And I didn't know if I could get used to living this kind of life forever. But I know who I am. And I know I'm strong enough.
Okay, we're going to flip to the next email, Ms. Kaplan. The one that's titled The Motivation for Your Behavior. This is dated May 7th, 2015 at 12:51 p.m. So it comes about 20 minutes after the last email in that previous email string, is that right?
Yes.
And Richard writes, top, the only reason you're being such a stupid cunt right now, well, always really, is because you know that Gabriel would rather be with me than with you. And he goes on to explain why he thinks that you're being, giving the responses you were giving in that previous email chain.
Yes. Why I was standing up for myself and not just accepting. While I was actually setting rules and guidelines and stipulations for visitation.
Ms. Capuano, I think you said you thought you were standing up for yourself.
Just a moment, please, Mr. Mark. Mr. Fox has a case. Mr. Meyer, if you keep your voice up, then Ms. Capuano will more likely keep hers up.
Thank you, Melody. I'll try. Apologies, Ms. Capuano. I'll try to keep my voice up. Now, I think what you said was you felt you were standing up for yourself in that previous email.
Yes, I was actually, in my own way, trying to control the situation for one of the first times, determine the guidelines, the stipulations, and the rules for Gabriel's visitation, which is something that I hadn't necessarily done before. And it's my belief that that's why he called me a stupid cunt.
That's how you understood his response.
Correct.
If we could go to the next email, please, the one titled Belligerence, dated May 7th at 7:01 p.m. And Richard wrote, "For someone who claims not to care, you sure spend a lot of time trying to get a rise out of me." I'll read the whole email, Ms. Capuano. "If I believe your intention is to try to annoy me, to anger me, then I will phrase my responses in a way that makes it seem I am annoyed, so that you will believe you are succeeding and you will continue. You have an incredible habit of saying things that shoot you in the foot and that contradict your previous statements. One day when Gabriel is older and he starts forgetting what you're like and he starts thinking maybe you deserve another chance, like I did, then I can show him all of these emails and how you lie incessantly to get what you want and how you betray people's trust and how you play on the guilt of passion to get what you want from them. And I'm sure that will be enough to convince him not to get back in contact with you. You see, it will be your own words and actions that keep Gabriel away from you once he's no longer there under court order. That has been my plan since March 2013, and you've consistently played right into it. Because you're too arrogant to ever acknowledge that you've been beat or that I'm better and smarter than you. See, I can even come right out and tell you, and it won't matter. You'll just keep getting suckered right into it." So another example of Richard telling you what his plan was.
Yes. The fact that he tells me in this email that he can tell me what his plans are, and it won't matter. Because he's smart enough to have covered his tracks.
The next email is titled Petition for Annulment. Do you know what Richard was referring to when he said petition for annulment?
Yes, I began the paperwork for an annulment.
Annulment of?
The marriage between him and I.
When did you realize that you were still legally married?
It wasn't long after. It's probably around 2005.
And so would it be fair to characterize this email as Richard saying it doesn't really matter if I appear, either way I will accomplish what I want to?
Yes. That no matter what, he intends to drag this out and keep me in court for years and never grant the annulment.
And we see the last paragraph. You see careful, meticulous planning. That's how you prevail. Or I'm lying about everything in this message just to mess with you.
Yes.
Did you ever determine whether or not he was telling the truth in this message?
He did not appear for that hearing. And the annulment was granted. It's finalized.
The next email, dated May 11th, 2015, titled Website Updates. Desiree has promised I have posted all the emails up to this point to the site. You can view them at http://www.desireekaplano.com/mail, but I'm sure you already know that. I find it fascinating that even though you know every single piece of correspondence with you is going to be posted publicly on a website hosted on a domain with your name, you still allow yourself to get overly emotional and say things that make you look like an idiot. I would think you'd be a little more cautious in what you say, Patrick. Is that an email you received on May the 11th, 2015 from Richard?
Yes. Yes.
The next email, dated May 15th, 2015, is titled The Most Difficult Border in the World to Cross. This was an email in which Patrick sent you pictures of a place at the border where he said he could cross the border.
Where he says he does cross the border.
How did that make you feel?
Scared. He shows me pictures of a place where there's no law enforcement, there's no immigration, there's no custody, there's nobody to check his identity, there's nobody to see if he's got guns on him, there's nobody. He's just the park. He just walks across and he shows me pictures of it. Tells me how easy it is.
The next email is titled Search Engine Results, dated May 23rd, 2015. And I'll read the first couple paragraphs. Hello, Desiree. Thought you might like to know that when I Googled Desiree Capuano, the website is the second entry in the list. Not bad for people that might want to Google you. When I Googled Desiree Tomlin, the site is the 18th in the search results. Need to improve this so people who don't know you changed your name can find it easier, people you went to grade school with and such. Your maiden name is Tomlin.
Yes.
And is this an accurate copy of the email you received on that day, other than, as you've told us before, the actual email addresses?
Correct, yes.
Do you remember in the summer of 2015 whether or not you sent Gabriel to visit Richard in Canada?
Yes, I did.
Do you know roughly what dates?
End of May through July. I was under court order to provide reasonable visitation and communication between Gabriel and his father. Bless you.
Do you remember when that order was made?
The last hearing that we had had. I'd have to look at records.
So if you could go into tab 14, please. Email titled Re-Automobile Accident, dated June 12, 2015. And Ms. Kaplan, if you could flip to the fourth page of this email string, the last page of this email string. And if I could summarize this email string, this is you and Richard arguing about what happened around Gabriel being born prematurely.
Correct.
And what we see on the last page, the second last full paragraph, it appears Richard wrote, "Now, what I would like from you is for you to deny these claims and call me a liar. I will then gladly post the medical, insurance, and police reports to your website. Yes, medical reports are confidential, but you live in the greatest country in the world where anything can be purchased. Yay, America." And then at the end, P.S., I BCC'd all the relevant parties. So, first of all, do you know whether Richard had obtained any of your medical records?
I don't know.
At that point in time, did you think that he could or not?
I think he's capable of getting anything he says he's going to get.
Do you know whether he had BCC'd anybody on this email?
I have no idea.
Did the possibility that he had cause you any concern?
Only because I don't know who he would have BCC'd. I don't know if it would have been more work colleagues or friends or people he knew. There's no way to know. I do want to point out, this is the first notification that I ever got that he believes that our son was premature because I punched myself in the stomach. And that is the story that he gave to our son while he raised him.
How did that make you feel, knowing that that's what your son had been told?
I had to talk to him about it, and he told me he already knew the story. It was really baffling. He was there during the whole event. Richard knew what had happened. I'm not really sure where he got that from.
No, I'm sorry, I'm just going to stop you there, Ms. Kaplan. The question is, how did it make you feel?
Disgusting. Just another lie.
But if we could go to the next email, please, Ms. Kaplan. Type 3 status update dated June 15th, 2015. And if you look to the bottom of this page, it appears that it starts with an email on June 13th, 2015. And it says, Patrick wrote, "Hello, Desiree. So Gabriel has been here about 2 weeks now." And goes on to say what they've been up to. And then in the last full paragraph on this page, "I don't understand how it is that he's been with you 2.5 years and you've not taught him anything, yet you still try to convince him you're a good parent." Another criticism of your parenting.
Yes.
Then it appears later that same day, if we just go up from the start of that email, as on Saturday, June 13th, so that same day the first email was sent, Patrick wrote, "What, no comeback? Could it be that you finally accepted that you really are a terrible parent and an overall bad person?" And if we look up from there, maybe I see it looks like Mr. Fox has an objection.
Just a correction. The first paragraph that you were reading from that, "I don't understand how it is that he's been with you for 2.5 years, and I'm not talking anything," and she says, or then it says, "Yet you still try to convince yourself." You said, "Yet you still try to convince him." Him being
here. All right, thank you.
June 15th, so 2 days later, you wrote back, I understand that you feel the need to document every milestone of parental responsibility to prove you do anything beyond supporting a 14 with way too much free money. Do you want a good boy? Well, good boy, Richard. I'm so glad you taught your son some things. Way to go. And then the same day, there's a response at the top from Richard, and the last paragraph says, glad you want your children to remain incapable of doing anything on their own, so they have to depend on you. That's terrible parenting, but then you're a single mother. That's what all single mothers do. Single mothers don't want to raise children. They just want to have babies. I know because I grew up around many of them. So another criticism from Richard.
Yes.
The next email is titled Your Favorite Child, dated June 28, 2015. And it's an email from Patrick Desiree. I was speaking with Gabriel earlier about that thing of you refusing to allow him to get decent clothes when he's with you. Do you know what Richard was referring to there?
I didn't buy Gabriel designer brand jeans.
And Richard goes on to write, and I pointed out to him that you obviously like Sage more than him. So the question, Ms. Kaplan, was how did it make you feel, Richard telling you that he was telling Gabriel that you like Sage more?
He was telling Gabriel and convincing Gabriel that I was trying to play favorites. But the reasons he gave Gabriel weren't true.
And how
it was very frustrating. It was very frustrating because then Gabriel came home and I had to deal with the repercussions of that.
We could go to the next email, please. This one is titled Ree Carrington College. And if we look at the bottom of the page, it appears to start with an email on June 27th, 2015. Patrick wrote, hello, Desiree. May you confirm that you've taken a position with Carrington College in Tucson? If so, then I should update your website. Do you have any interesting quotes or pseudo facts that I can put on the site? But I can't imagine there'd be much of a need for a systems analyst at an individual campus of a demi-college. Wouldn't that be a bit of a step down from what you were purportedly doing at Apollo? But since the campus is substantially smaller than you, then you'd be less anonymous. And word of your website and your backstory should spread quickly. Now, I think you told us yesterday that your job with Apollo ended at the end of September 2015. Do you remember whether or not at this time, June 27th, you were still employed by Apollo?
Maybe it was 2014 that I was laid off. I may have been mistaken.
Do you want to just think about that for a second?
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been 2014 then. Sorry.
Now, in June of 2015, did you take a position with Carrington College?
No. No, I was still employed with Apollo at that time. I was laid off in September of 2015. I moved to Tucson and I kept my job in Phoenix and I drove up to Phoenix for the last couple months of my tenure there. I was still employed with Apollo at this time.
Okay, so you weren't looking for a job in June of 2015?
No.
Did this email mean anything to you? Or?
Yes, it meant that he was trying to find where I would be working. He was researching places, and he'd already indicated that if he had, he would, as soon as he found out where I would be working, he would be informing them, just like he did at Apollo. Which meant he was going to try to ruin any new job that I got. And Apollo was having difficulties. They were going through layoffs at that time.
So then above that, there's another email from Richard, and then on June 28th, 2015, it says, Desiree Capuano wrote, "You wrote, my job is none of your business."
Correct.
And then above that, the first paragraph on this page, we see Richard's response, "Is that because you're embarrassed about having to take such a step down? Do you think that if you don't tell me that I won't be able to confirm it anyway, can I not just call HR and ask them? And as long as you use your social security number, then couldn't I just run a credit check on you?"
I was scared when I got that. Because at that point, he basically just told me he had my social security number.
Hey, Ms. Capuano, could we flip back in this book to tab 7, please? And what we see here is, it says, titled Blogs on the first page. It says Recent Posts, and then it says Popular Posts. And then near the bottom of the page, it starts listing blog posts, starting with, yes, this website is still here, bitches. And then the list continues over the next page for several pages. I believe there are about 90 blogs listed. Does that sound roughly accurate?
Based off of this documentation, yes. I don't know. I haven't read any of the blogs before the hearing.
You hadn't read any of these before the hearing?
No.
Now, if we look at, if we go past the list, and again, lady, I apologize for the lack of page numbers. The way the blogs are printed out here, if you look to the very bottom of the page and you see a title of a blog that says My New Home and Job, that starts after the list of blogs. And it's dated July 13th, 2015, over on the right-hand side.
Yes.
You can see under that, says perspective, sorry, under the title, My New Home and Job, it says Perspective Desiree, 306 viewers, views, zero comments. If we flip over the page, do you recognize the house that's shown there?
Yes.
And was that your house?
Yes.
When did you move there?
It's not my house, it's my fiance's house. But yes, I moved there over the summer of 2015.
You moved there in the summer of 2015?
Correct.
And we've already seen that's a picture of James Pendleton.
Correct.
Now, the next blog we see on the next page is titled James Attempts to Get the Site Taken Down. I'm going to skip that one and go to the next one after that. It's titled Green Valley Hospital Career Prospects and this website. You have that, Ms. Capuano?
Yes.
Do you know who Green Valley Hospital is?
Yes.
Okay, what do you know about that?
I submitted my resume to them for multiple positions.
Now, this blog is dated October 13th, 2015.
Correct.
When did you submit your resume to them?
I was laid off on September 30th of 2015, and I have been submitting resumes for all potential employment during those 2 weeks. They actually had multiple openings, so I submitted for multiple openings.
The 2 weeks following September 30th, you were submitting resumes?
Correct.
And that included to Green Valley Hospital?
Correct.
And did you ever hear from Green Valley Hospital?
No.
Now, Ms. Kaplan, it might be easiest to find the next blog if you just start from the back, the last part of tab 7, and flip backwards until you find the blog, Ode to Work at Pima Community College. So that blog contains a picture that looks,
yes.
I'm holding it up here. We see under the title, Ode to Work at Pima Community College, it's dated May the 11th, 2016.
Yes.
Did you ever apply to this college?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So tell the jury how that application went. Did you ever hear from them?
Yes. I applied for a position with Pima. I went on a series of interviews, and I was made an offer. It was a really great position. I was working on a contract at the time, so it was substantially more money. It was a full-time position, all benefits for me and the kids. I had a starting date. They had already given me the offer letter, which I had signed. And when I asked them if I was good to give my 2 weeks' notice at my current job, they said, hold on. And over the course of the next couple weeks, they went back and forth with their legal department and determined that they couldn't take the risk of employment because of the website. And so they withdrew the offer.
And was that around May 2016 that was happening?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go back to the emails, Ms. Capuano. And if we could look at the last email at tab 14. Accurate to summarize this email as Richard saying, his lessons when he's a parent and going through hard times are better than your parenting approach.
Oh, yes.
And then the last sentence of that email, Richard wrote, he doesn't hate you because of what I tell him about you, he hates you because of what you do.
Yes.
How did that make you feel?
Sad.
The next email, the first one at tab 15, titled Status, dated July the 5th, 2015. Do you remember, was Gabriel with Richard in Vancouver this time?
Yes.
And I see the first sentence, hello Desiree, one, yes, Gabriel and I are having fun at your expense, and basically goes on to mock things you do as a parent.
Yes.
Do you know whether Gabriel was CC'd on this email?
Yes.
The next email, titled Your Reasoning, dated July the 5th, 2015. Richard writes, so why would you want a child living in your home that you know doesn't respect you? Goes on the next paragraph, the only remaining reason I can think of is that you do it despite me. But that's backfiring on you because I've already worked out a plan that involves Gabriel remaining with you until he turns 16, then moving to Ontario where neither you nor the U.S. or Canadian courts can touch him, and I've explained that plan to him. He doesn't like it, but he understands and appreciates the motives. So by insisting on keeping him with you, aren't you really just spiting yourself? Aren't you really just subjecting yourself to the additional difficulties of providing for a child that looks down on you? That considers you below him because of your refusal to be anything more than a white trash pothead, because of your inability to make any good or proper decisions, because of your continually doing things that adversely affect him and not giving him any choices. Is that an email that you received from Richard on July the 5th, 2015?
Yes.
Another example, I suppose, of general critical comments.
Yes.
Constant. Do you know whether Gabriel CC'd on this email?
I believe he was.
If we could look at the next email, please. Titled Fun at Your Expense. Date of the same day, July 5th, 2015. Hello, Desiree. In the event you're curious how exactly we're having fun at your expense, allow me to enlighten you, and then goes on to list 51 ways that you are being made fun of.
Correct.
Who did you understand Richard to be referring to when he said we?
Him and Gabriel.
Do you know whether Gabriel was CC'd on this email?
Yes.
The next email, dated July 12th, 2015, Richard wrote, Gabriel tells me that when you bring him to the airport, you get a security pass and escort him right to the point that he boards the plane. Are you fucking retarded? Why do single mothers always baby their kids? Dude, he's 14 for Christ's sake. No wonder when he arrives here, he seems incapable of doing the smallest things. Another criticism of your parenting.
Yes. I understand different parents handle things in different situations, but nothing I did was right by him. Didn't matter.
Okay, the next email, titled Re-Contact Information. If we flip to the second page of this email and look at where it started, at the bottom, the last two paragraphs, Patrick wrote, according to Google Maps, that address is a U.S. post office. You are legally required to provide me the address where Gabriel will be physically residing. Had you provided an address to Richard?
It was a mailing address, not a physical address.
Why didn't you provide Richard with your mailing address, or your home address?
Two reasons. One, he was outside the country. He was not supposed to enter the country, so there should be no reason for him to need a physical address. And two, I didn't want it up on the website.
And it goes on, and if we look at the further up the page, this same page that we were just looking at, the second full paragraph, Desiree Capuano wrote, as long as Patrick Fox continues to put my personal information on a public website, it will not be provided.
Yes.
That is what you said to Richard at
yes.
that time. And it goes on, if we look, flipping back to the first page, he demands the address again, you don't give it to him, and then his final response at the top of the page, since I've not heard back from you with the current address at which Gabriel would be residing, I will not be transporting him to the airport.
Yes, he was telling me in this email thread that unless I gave him a physical address, he's not going to return my son to me.
The next email titled Re-Updates to Your Site. If we look halfway down the page, on July 13, 2015, Patrick wrote, Desiree, I've updated some of the information on your site. Let me know if anything is inaccurate, namely on the homepage and on the news page. I was sure to include your new address, a picture of your presumed boyfriend, and a picture of your new home. And then if we look up at the email, top of the page, Desiree, oh, I should mention, before you freak out at Gabriel and ground him for telling me where you live, I already had the address from the times you previously spent the weekends at the house. Given the address, finding the name of the person who owns the property is a simple public records check. Given the name of the property owner, a simple Google search provides his LinkedIn and Facebook profiles. From the LinkedIn profile, I see that he also looked at Apollo Group at the same time you did. Using basic deduction and given how well I know you, I was able to conclude that you were intimately involved with Mr. Pendleton. Why else would you take your kids and spend numerous weekends at his house, which is hours' drive from where you live? So you see, Gabriel told me nothing. Any fool with partial intelligence and a bit of background on you could figure it out.
He was tracking Gabriel through the use of his cell phone. He was monitoring the GPS location of the cell phone. That's how he figured it out.
That's what you believe.
Yes.
The next email, Gabriel's return, dated July 14th, 2015. So tell me, Desiree, how is Gabriel upon his return? How's his demeanor seem? Does he seem happy to be back with you? Has he been sharing with you all the things he did, his wonderful accomplishments? Is he excited about his new home? Is he looking forward to starting his new school? Or has he been withdrawn, keeping to himself, spending most of his time in his room? And as I've said repeatedly, the misery this will bring, that will bring you and your home is far greater than a court order for you to return. A court order gives you the opportunity to get people's pity. A son that hates you because you're a narcissistic fuck-up leaves only you to blame. But do you remember around that time how Gabriel was when he returned home from his visit with Richard?
That one was worse than any of the others. And that was also during the same visit where he told Gabriel that I loved my other kid more and given him reasons. And when Gabriel got back, he was like a completely different person. He wouldn't come near me. He wouldn't talk. He was excited for the move before he went to Canada. And when he got back, he was just scared. And it broke my heart.
Might be a good time.
All right. We'll break for lunch now. Remember raise an issue. Again, it's hearsay evidence relating to the application at Pima Community College. Bearing in mind that Mr. Fox is self-represented, I have a concern that that evidence went in without objection and without any suggestion that there are limits on the use to which the evidence can be put. I'm thinking that a mid-trial instruction may be in order. Do you agree?
I support that.
I let it go at the time because I wasn't sure whether there would be later emails that would essentially confirm the hearsay evidence given, but I didn't hear anything. Mr. Fox, what I'm getting at is that Ms. Capuano testified that she was told by Pima Community College that she wouldn't be hired, they'd be withdrawing their offer because of the website. And that was the reason that her offer was withdrawn. And that's considered hearsay evidence. It was what was said, if it was said by someone who's not here to testify, not available to be cross-examined. So the evidence that Ms. Capuano gave can be considered only as going to her state of mind, what she believed, what she understood. Actually, I'm not sure it can even be. I'm thinking out loud there. I'm not sure that it can, because that would essentially reinforce the truth of the content. I think the jury has to be told that they have to disregard that evidence, and they can take from the evidence simply that an offer she had been given was withdrawn. Mr. Meyer?
Lady, I'm just thinking we should address this without this happening.
All right, how do you propose that we manage that? There's a sequence here. It takes a bit of time.
Well, if your ladyship's content to do it,
if it's something that, if it's not appropriate that she be here, she shouldn't be here.
It won't affect her evidence. I mean, we've covered that. Crown's moved on. We won't be revisiting it.
Well,
so I don't see how it would affect her evidence.
Well, there's always the potential that it would affect it later.
I would worry it might affect her cross-examination, my lady.
Then we had better stand down for a couple of minutes, make the arrangements for Ms. Capuano to leave the courtroom, and begin her lunch break, and then we'll resume in a couple of minutes' time and address this.
Thank you, Melody.
Stand down now.
The recording score stands down.